Well, good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. So we have been in a series, and this morning we're going to take a few minutes to kind of wrap it up a little bit. And let me just remind you what we've been talking about and why this is so important to me. I've just noticed something in not only our church, but evangelical circles largely. Lots of people that have been introduced to faith as a child or as a teenager may have wandered away and come back, or that there's a faith background in their home. They're maybe in times of crisis or in times of trying to establish their life, trying to seek out a great basis for faith. But largely, when you get to a certain stage in life, the statistical analysis would say that your recognition of God's love and your response to the sacrifice of His Son goes down and down and down. And that if we're to be a light in a dark place, and if we're to be a witness to the world, that probably we're not doing the most amazing job at passing on our faith. There was a complacency in some ways that sets in that says, well, we pay some people to do this, and we have a church building, and we have a setting where it can happen, and so aren't we doing what we're supposed to be doing? And we miss this whole idea that God set this whole thing up with intention. We started talking about how He created us uniquely male and female with a design. He had something in mind when He made mankind, and that He gave them a role in stewarding creation and in participating with Him, but He also develop the family and the relationship as a place where faith grows and is passed on. In Deuteronomy, we see Him setting up how He wants His people to work and how faith is to be passed on from generation to generation, and how He desires His blessing to flow out on people who get it and who respond, and that the whole world might see who He is, first through a people that He set aside, and eventually through His sons and daughters, adopted sons and daughters, through people with whom relationship with God is made right. It says this in Scripture, that we're to be the light of the world, that in a dark place and where people can't see what they're doing or where they're going, that we're to shine with this light because we've got the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He calls us ambassadors, that we're representatives of a kingdom, of something that's different. He says the gospel is essential, and how beautiful are the feet of them that bring the good news. And He commissions us in Matthew 28, 18 and following to go out into all the world. You've been challenged in this series to have a look at your home, have a look at your environment, have a look at how you're operating, and begin to be intentional about being someone who passes on this great hope that lies within you. In the last couple of weeks, we've said, you know, one of the ways that the Bible is really clear is knowing your God story, your testimony. It's full of the stories of God at work in people's lives. And as you engage in other people's lives, you begin to love them, you need to be able to have, in concise manner, the ability to tell the story of how you've discovered God and who He is to you and what He's done. The next week we challenged you saying, not only do you need that, you need to know what's essential to the gospel. When people say, what's different about you, or how do I meet this God that you talk about? How do I have personal relationship? It's not, oh, come to my church, or I'm going to phone my pastor. You can sit down and say, well, this is what the Bible says. This is how God showed Himself to us. And this is how relationship is found. Undergirding all of that is my title today, Passing on Faith. Really, undergirding everything is prayer. Prayer. So in a very few minutes, what I want to do is just walk you through a passage in Matthew where Jesus actually tells His disciples to pray. And we'll read it together, and then we'll start walking through it. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. The first thing I want you to see is seeing reality. Do you ever look at a person, a young kid, a punk, a group of people, and make instant assumptions about who they are and what they're about? Come on, I can't be the only one that does that. I hear a car coming up our street and the music, boo, 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 and it pulls into my driveway, and I'm like, oh, it's that punk. And I've been wrong so many times when I've seen somebody and I've made an assumption and somebody's life looks like it's all together. And they come in and finally when the curtain gets pulled back, they show me, it's a mess. I don't know where I'm at and I don't know where I'm at with God. And the Bible talks about us living in community and living in reality. But Jesus does something very interesting. So he's traveling around and he's preaching and he's teaching. And as he looks out and sees people, he doesn't see what they're trying to present and he doesn't see what they're trying to hide. What does he see? He sees the people who are coming to him to be touched as harassed, helpless, sheep without a shepherd. You know, Jesus has been busy and he's traveling and as he's doing that, people are coming to him and he's looking at them, not saying these people want something from me or I, you know, he's seeing their true condition. And his motivation comes from this perspective that comes from God. This is who people are. So, I did a little experiment. Felt kind of foolish. But the day that I was working on this, I went outside and I stood in the middle of my street and I looked up and down the street. I tried to picture who I know lives in those houses. And what I know about them. And there's all kinds of assumptions I make about the toys that they buy or the, and some of them are my friends. And I thought, you know what? My prayer needs to be, show me what you see, God. Show me what you see. How do you view those who are apart from God in their life? Do you view them as they try and present themselves to you? Or do you view them as God sees them? Trying to find satisfaction and meaning in all kinds of ways, responding to the pain in their life in so many ways, hiding their reality in so many ways. In desperate need of knowing who Jesus is. The second thing Jesus does is he has a response to them. I love this. It says, when he saw them, he had compassion for them. Now the literal word used in Scripture says, moved in one's stomach with pity. But what I noticed was the absence of judgment or harshness, that you guys have had the law, that you know better, that why is it you're always asking for something, or some of you are just ignoring me and going on your way? Why is it that it's been so hard for you? And remember, these are the people of God. He set it up. He gave them the law. And he said, if you just honor me, this could happen. And here's the situation they're in. And he has compassion for them, not judgment. He doesn't say, well, look at, you've made your bed. You're going to lie in it. He doesn't say, well, I'm right here. All you have to do is look. He has compassion. Paul talks about that love for people. And this blows me away. In Romans chapter 9, verse 2, Paul, of course, was someone who was zealously persecuting Christians. He was a Pharisee. He was trained in a system. He was on the rise. He was a man everybody knew, put in charge of eradicating this little cult called the Christ followers. And Jesus meets him on a road and changes him absolutely and thoroughly. And he has a passion for his people to know and to not be enslaved by this lie, but to know Jesus was who he says. And listen to his words in Romans chapter 9. I'm speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. When was the last time you felt any kind of a stirring or passion, even smelling remotely of that, that you would be willing to sacrifice or give? Or Paul says, I'd be willing to give up all of this if my countrymen, the people I love, could know Christ. He follows it up in chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. He sees the reality. There is a response. Thirdly, I want you to see the potential Jesus talks about. I don't know about you, but I despair when I see problems that are too big. I don't really like to talk about child hunger because I know I don't have the resources to fix it. I don't know what to do about this problem or that problem. I stood in the streets of Cambodia and I asked myself, we're just scratching the surface. Look at all of these children being sold, or look at these. How do we ever change generations of what's happened? I can't fix it. Some of you look up and down your streets like that. It's not my responsibility. If they were really looking for God, there's tons of churches they could try and places they could find it. Right? I don't want to think about the fact that the Bible tells me, this isn't somebody's idea, that apart from Christ, you choose to pay the penalty for sin yourself, and that God's wrath will be poured out against the sinfulness of mankind. That means eternal separation from God. The consequences are eternal and catastrophic. Now, I'm not making that up. That's in Scripture. But sometimes we just say the job's too big. I don't know if I could take it to care that much. And Jesus sees potential. Instead of seeing something horrible or undoable, or he's like, the harvest is plentiful. Look at the opportunity in this darkness for the light to shine. There's an amazing need here. And in Luke 18, he's talking and teaching again, and he's talking about how hard it is to get into heaven in some ways. Like he's basically saying you can't earn your way into heaven. And they ask a question about, he says it's harder for a rich man to get into heaven than go through a camel through the eye of a needle. And you can read all the commentaries. And here's the point of what he's talking about. He says, humanly, you can't do enough to balance the scales. And you can't, humanly, but listen to what he says. Those who heard it said, then who can be saved? Like, if it's that impossible, if it's that fantastic, we might as well despair and give up hope. And Jesus says this, what is impossible with man is possible with God. He sees the potential in John 15, 16. He's talking to his disciples and he's commissioning them. And he says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask in the ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. What he's saying is, I've chosen you and I've revealed myself to you, and what seems impossible to you is absolutely possible with God. What seems to be a disaster or darkness, or, and as you look and you say, this compassion is going to break my heart, what you need to know then is the potential is that God in that circumstance can change everything. And that he's given you the ability to ask the Father, the Creator, the Lord of the harvest, and his hand will move. So he goes on to say, pray to the Lord of the harvest. I want you to see who we are about to pray to. He's the one desiring the harvest, the one who's making it possible. He's the God who created us. Paul says, pray that the mystery is revealed. In Ephesians 6, it says this, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication, prayer, for all the saints. And he says this, and also for me, that words may be given me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may boldly declare it as I ought to speak. We're being told to pray. Pray that God himself would open people to the mystery of the gospel. In Acts 16, it talks about it happening to a woman who participated in a system where she acknowledged God, but she understood who Jesus is through Paul's words. Her name's Lydia, and in Acts 16:14, it talks about what God did. It said, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Tyrea, a seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. What I want you to see is that God himself draws people. As you pray and you ask God to do it, he reveals himself. People can then respond or reject that. We understand that, but God reveals himself to people. And that the prayer works, that he wants you to bear fruit. He's chosen you. He's opened your eyes. He's given you the chance for relationship. Now he wants you to be a light ambassador. He wants you to be a witness. He wants that witness to be passed on. And he will do what you cannot. He will open the ears and the eyes of people to truth. And you need to ask him. You need to pray for that. Says we need to pray for more workers. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2 says this, finally, brothers, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may speed ahead and be honored as happening among you, and that we may be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. And you see us doing that and praying for Marion and praying for one another and praying in our community groups for each other and praying for Kelly and praying for... But he's saying, pray that the Lord of the harvest, the Almighty God, might send workers, might commission people to see it that way and to go and to do. And to send them as lights into the darkness, as ambassadors of the gospel, as workers in the harvest you desire. Okay, we've got to ask a big question. Yeah, we're having communion this morning and just... I'm captured by this image, okay? We're here to build disciples and we're learning and growing together and we've got great community with one another. What if we individually said, God, here's some of my time and especially here's my emotional energy. God, you can show me people that I've written off, people that I've buttonholed and put in a category, people that in the past have hurt me or have acted a certain way. Show me them the way you see them. What if he started to give us compassion? The passion that Paul shows for the lost, for the lonely. What if we stopped seeing their behaviors as they try and self-medicate or try and seek a way to ease their pain or try and find some kind of significance in their life? What if we completely looked past the behavior and saw the heart crying out and hungry for God? And then we loved them. And we invited them into relationship with us. And we told them what it meant that God chose us. What if in a few minutes we just told them the story of the gospel and invited them to give their hearts and lives to Christ? What if we were participants in this great mystery of God reaching men and women for Jesus? You see, that's worth giving your life to. That's worth giving up a TV show or two for. That's worth investing in. What are you going to do? First, we're going to pray and get ready for communion. Ask God for his perspective. The Spirit of God talks to us. Bow in his presence and say, Lord, have I been doing that? And instead of letting the self-lawyer run away, forgive me, mine does this all the time, right? Where you sit there and go, no, I haven't been doing that. Look at when you did this. Look at what. Tell the self-lawyer to shut up and say, God, have I Will you give me your perspective on the people around me that you're privileged to let me work with and serve with and live next door to? Will you show me? Secondly, be available. Okay, I don't lightly say this. Paul's comment scares me senseless. Who wants, you know, we love to compartmentalize our lives. But who wants that kind of agony and pain where you wish that it would be taken from you just so someone else could experience it? Are you willing to allow God to give you compassion, to stir up your heart, to have your heart broken? Are you really willing to let him show you how he sees people past their outward appearance, past what they're doing to try and deal with whatever it is that's going on inside, past how they're living out the lies that they believed will bring them happiness, to see what they really need? Are you willing to let God do that? If so, tell him and make yourself available. Thirdly, I'm here to tell you to trust God to do. I love that verse in Acts that tells us he knows the time and the place of our lives. It means he put you here and he didn't ask you to go there, and you don't have to feel guilty. But God will solve the problems that are too big for us. We only need to ask how he wants us to participate with him. And finally, pray. Undergirding all of this was the word pray. Pray for the gospel to be understood. Pray for it to be taken to others. It says, ask of the Lord of the harvest, and he will do. We're going to have communion this morning. The team's going to come and lead us in a song and getting ready. There's Kieran and a few of them. As we get ready for communion, I want you to spend a few minutes quietly with God. So communion, if you're new here or visiting, it's not for the alliance. It's not for, if you know God through what Christ did on a cross for you, if you said that applies to me and you're a Christ wanna follower of God through what Christ did on a cross, you're welcome to participate in remembering that here. But if you're here this morning and that is your reality, as you sit and ponder, hear this and hear it with all love, okay? God has no grandchildren. At some point and at some time, someone in your history, in your past, with your parents, or maybe with you personally, was this light, was this ambassador. Someone took the time to share with you the mystery of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ we celebrate that brings hope and peace to a world, that gives us new life, that gives us belonging, that answers the questions and the problems that sin creates. Somewhere in your history, someone did that for you. As you remember what that means, you need to ask God whose history he wants you to be a part of and how you can participate in that.